going to be played up in Minnesota. And as I understand, at the end of the game, they usually award a trophy, an award. Certainly one goes to the winning team, but also one to the most valuable player. And during the game, people will be watching very closely to see what everyone does as they decide who will get that award. Now, I want to suggest to you that at the end of that game, someone will be standing there, and there will be lots of confetti, and there will be lots of applause, lots of adulation. Literally, billions of people will be watching and seeing who that is. But I would also suggest that there is a greater reward, one for you and for me. And it's not a Super Bowl trophy. It's not even a Volunteer of the Year award like Frank got. But it's simply knowing that we have poured our life into others. It's really the abundant life, the blessed life, the life that as a people of God is in store for us. First of all, God wants all of us to be His children. And so He sent Jesus to die, and He sent His Holy Spirit to create faith in our hearts, so we have that connection. But we can begin to live the life that is meant in heaven right now. And that's really what this whole series is about. We began, if you remember, several years ago with living generously and then loving generously. And finally, the culmination in leading generously, pouring ourselves, not just our excess, but our very essence into the lives of others. I know Frank had a great passage. It's hard to beat the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor. But Philippians, the words of Paul here, explain kind of what that looks like in a little greater detail. So we're going to apply this, what we've heard and learned this morning, in 3 points from Philippians 2. So it begins with this. Emulate the life of Jesus. Emulate the life of Jesus. Now, before we get into that, just a little bit more about the Super Bowl. Just a real quick quiz. How many of you are actually interested in the game? Anybody? Some of you? That's good. Okay. How many of you are going to watch for the commercials? Yeah, right. How many of you just need another excuse to eat? Yeah, that's me. We're going to do that. And you know the old proverb, you are what you eat. So be very careful this afternoon. Some of you are going to become a green glob like me. Guacamole everywhere. Well, there's a greater proverb, of course. It's, you're not what you eat and good thing, but you truly are what you think. The Bible says from Proverbs, an actual proverb, that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you think, that is how eventually you will live. There's another more modern proverb, if you'll throw that one up there. We'll go through that real quickly. It kind of explains it. Sow a thought, reap an act. Then you sow an act, you reap a habit. What you do once, if you do it repeatedly, then is a habit, then it becomes your character. And finally, if you sow that character, that will become your destiny. And yet this whole chain reaction begins at the beginning with a thought, a mindset, an attitude. And so we began with wanting to think like Jesus. That's really where it all begins, isn't it? Having His attitude, having His mindset. When we begin to think like Jesus, we begin to see like Jesus, and then we begin to act and live like Jesus. So what does Paul say about that? Well, there in your memory verse, he says, Jesus, who being in very nature God. So this is God. Jesus Christ is God. He's eternal. He's almighty. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He is the creator of the universe. He deserves all praise and honor and glory and admiration. And yet, what does it say that He does? He poured Himself out. He made Himself nothing. Our other translation says that He did not take advantage of being God. Can you imagine that? Think about the Super Bowl again this afternoon. Let's say that there is a penalty. One of these yellow flags comes out. And let's just say it's a defensive lineman who grabs the quarterback, maybe Tom Brady or Nick Foles, whomever it is, and he slams him to the ground and the flag goes out. Can you imagine Bill Belichick or Doug Peterson coming out and saying, "Oh, that's okay. I don't want the penalty. That just, it's okay. He didn't mean it." Can you imagine? No, we take advantage, don't we? It's our nature. It's the way we live our life. And yet, Paul says that Jesus Christ poured himself out. He would not take advantage of the highest elevation of being God himself and receiving all the glory and all the privileges of God. And so instead, he gave up that glory of heaven for the humility, for the grief, for the persecution, for the pain, for the crucifixion that awaited him right here. So the big question for all of us, why? You might circle that there in your notes. Why did Jesus do this? Well, one reason, really, he's the only one who could, isn't he? He's the only one who could. If we could have lived perfectly, wouldn't we? We would do it, right? We couldn't do it. Only God could do it. Only God could become the sin of the world because we are already filled with sin. Jesus is the only one, and thank God for that, that he chose to do this. And so Paul writes, "You're never more than like Jesus when you do the same thing, when you look out for others." His actual words are these: "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." You know, if we would all look to the interests of others and let God look out for our own interests, there'd be very few problems in this world, wouldn't there? So it all begins with emulating the life of Jesus Christ and then exercising that love. It's one thing to look at his life, but it's also then another to exercise that love. Again, Paul writes, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." That next point is so important. We probably don't think a lot about this as Christians. But do you realize that Jesus did not have to die? He didn't have to because he's perfect. He has no sin. There would be no hell for Jesus. He didn't have to die. God is under no obligation to save you or anybody else. He didn't have to do it. And yet, he sent Jesus to die, not because he was obligated to, but because he wanted to. The Father said, "Jesus, I need you to go down to earth." And Jesus said, "Yes, I'll do it." And God said, "I need you to die on a cross." And Jesus said, "Yes, I'll do it." And God said, "I need you to pull yourself out." And Jesus says, "I want to do it." For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Or if you want to rewrite it, "For Jesus so loved the world that he willingly went to the cross for you and me." My friends, if you want to impact the world, then you too will die to self. Because finally, that is what love is. Now there's a guy, what's his name, singing today? Justin Timberlake. I understand he sings a little bit about love every now and then. I don't know. I don't listen to a lot of his music. And isn't that our culture? Turn on the radio. You can listen to love songs. And isn't there a holiday coming up very soon? What's that one? Valentine's Day. And you can get a card to show your love or candy or all these things. And you can have nice little poems that talk about your love. But love, finally, whether we sing about it or write about it, love finally is an action, isn't it? I would suggest to you that though the world writes about it and sings about it, the world doesn't know a whole lot about love. But there are those who do, and they show it in their action. I want to share with you just a quick little story. A couple of years ago, I read about a group of fifth graders in Oceanside, California. There was a boy there in the fifth grade class, and he had a very serious brain tumor. And so he had to get chemotherapy. And of course, when you get chemotherapy, oftentimes there are side effects, and one of those is often losing your hair. And so all of the kids in the class decided that they would shave their heads. That way, as one of the little 11-year-olds said, when someone comes to the class, they won't be able to tell exactly who it is that's sick. A lot of you remember right here at Emmanuel, there was a student in our school that also had cancer and lost his hair. And a number of his classmates shaved their heads as well. Now, I got to say, because some of those boys are a little pale complected, shall we say, I think they look sicker than the kid who was actually sick. It was really hard to tell, wasn't it? And not only some of the kids, but a lot of adults as well, so that that boy would feel wanted and loved. It's an action. And so, my friends, as a church or as an individual, if you want to impact the world, then you will begin to show that love and die to yourself. Jesus said it this way, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." So I want to wrap it up with this, our last point. As we emulate the life of Christ, as we exercise the love of Jesus, we also exalt the Lordship as well. You remember the time when John the Baptist was preaching out in the wilderness? He's preparing the way for the Lord. He's preaching the gospel, and yet he says, "I need to decrease so that Jesus can increase." When Jesus increases in our lives, when he becomes first and foremost, when we realize that when he pours into us, we can pour into others. When we lower ourselves and we can lift others up, life becomes different. Do you remember in the video when Frank had that pitcher of water? Do you remember that part there toward the end? So often we think that when that water is poured out and we pour it into others, we think there can't be enough left for us. But did you notice that that pitcher was still very full, wasn't it? That's how God's economy works. It's not an economy of scarcity where there's only so much. But when God pours into you and when God pours into me, and then we then pour out into others, there is always more. We're just a conduit. And the more that we pour out, the more room there is for God to pour into us. Yeah, it's going to be, hopefully, a great Super Bowl today. There's going to be a great celebration at the end, and trophies will be awarded. There will be confetti and great parades in the next couple of weeks. But there's a better life that all of us can live, a greater reward, a more important trophy. And that is when we learn to truly live. And that life is one that lifts up others. Let me end on this. As we see the very end of Philippians chapter 2. It says that Jesus poured himself out. He humbled himself even to death. And then what happened? He was exalted. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that is how God always works. The last will be first. and when we pour out ourselves, when we lower ourselves, and others are elevated, then we get to live, truly live, for Jesus Christ. And that's the life that I want for all of you. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you.